So, welcome everybody to Founding Members Club Call. This week we actually have a really special treat for you. We have a guest host, and that is Mr. Adam Gulott. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, everybody.
Not too bad. It's a really pleasure to have you here, man.
Pleasure to be had.
You're a good friend of the DAO community and Joshua, so it's always awesome to hear from you.
We were partying last night.
Oh, where are you now?
Yep, down in San Diego.
That's awesome. I love San Diego.
I'll tell you something. When I was young and 20, I was at a gym in New York, and an old man came up to me. This is a true story, by the way. This reminded me. I don't know
All
why.
right.
He walks up to me and goes, "Hey, kid." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Kid like you should move out to San Diego. Kid like you would make out like a bastard." I'll never forget. It was like we were naked. We were in a gym, and this guy, he just came up to me out of nowhere. "Kid like you should move to San Diego, make out like a bastard." And he's right. This place is amazing. So when he went, oh my God. Anyway.
That's like the
back
best
to the business at hand.
old
What?
man voice ever.
Yeah, well, I'm on my way. So,
was it an old man or was it a troll under the bridge?
It was like that. It was like this old fucking hairy guy with his balls dragging on the tiles. Just like, "Hey, kid." I'm like, "All right, maybe you're a prophet from God. Maybe I should move to San Diego and have sex with beautiful women." Okay. Took a while, but I got there. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Hey, no problem. I'm always up for talking about sex with beautiful women.
Oh,
they should
Lord.
Probably put that on the billboard or something, like San Diego, lots of beautiful women to have sex with.
Yeah.
So says this old man.
Welcome to San Diego. Bang us.
Yeah.
I can see that
Yeah.
fine.
Speaking of banging, so on the last few calls, we've been talking about the seduction stage of the interaction. So, we'll have a chance to get into that more with you a little bit later. Adam, you've been in this game for a little while now. You're a pretty well-renowned master of the dating world. I don't think anybody would contend that. So it's like I said, it's awesome to have you here, and I know you're gonna be able to provide a lot of value for the founding members and everybody who listens to this call. So let's learn a little bit more about you, I guess. Like, I think that'll help everybody to sort of, figure out who they're listening to here. If you could just like give us a little bit about your story and how you got into the whole dating advice arena.
Yeah, I make out like a bastard. That's my story.
Started by moving to San Diego.
I have a very encouraging story for everybody because I started out probably the worst of everyone at this. I somehow got married at 23 when I was traveling around the world with a very beautiful, blonde, buxom drill sergeant sharpshooter in the Israeli army.
Whoa.
And I was irresistible. And so I got married very young and stayed married for a while, actually 17 years. And I got unmarried when I was 39. Having zero experience in dating, flirting, even thinking about it. I mean, I fantasized, but I was a very loyal husband, father, and had zero idea how to meet women. And I was really glad to be single. I wanted to be single, even though it was a very difficult decision because of the kids and everything. But we were both pretty unhappy. We're just very different kind of people at 39 than we were at 23. So if you're listening, do not get married at 23. you change a lot. So I had to learn from ground zero and pretty specific skills that came in very handy. And basically what that includes was I'm not tall. I am not particularly good looking. I do not particularly have my hair, although I beat Joshua by a long shot. I felt like a total piece of garbage having lost my family, quote unquote, at 39. I felt really worthless because they were the source of my whole sense of value. So I really had nothing. I just, like, I had no idea what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what bars. I didn't, I just didn't know how people met girls. I didn't know what to say to them because I felt was, "Hi, I'm 39. I'm now broke from my divorce, and I just lost my family. Wanna fuck?" so I didn't know. I would never have said that at that point. But I had one kind of extraordinary skill, and actually you know about it because we were just talking about it. I'm a writer, and I taught writing and poetry at Stanford University, where I did kind of advanced work in psychology and semiotics and communication. So I know a lot of writing and communication, and I was a screenwriter, Emmy-nominated producer for a long time in Hollywood. And I wrote one of your favorite shows, The Gargoyles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were just talking, about how you wrote several episodes of one of the best shows, I think, in the last...
Great show.
20 years, especially for kids, and that was Gargoyles.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Gargoyles is really based in mythology, you know, so I have a big background in global mythology, which really helps, by the way, especially in Dial of Badass, the whole concept of how you develop as a man, how you evolve as a man. And I may do a whole program on the heroic and really being heroic, because one of my big messages today across the board is you be a hero. Don't worry about getting something from women. You be a hero in your own life. You know, be proud of your life. Do great, awesome, inspiring things for yourself. Learn, grow, evolve, and your energy will attract women more than, you know, doing a little rope trick at a bar. So,
That's
be a badass in your life. Yeah. So I'm a writer, and I used to say I've been on TV, and I said, like, I've written more Lifetime movies at this point where I could ovulate on command. Just tell me, here comes an egg. I've done it. So I studied a lot of women's psychology. I was married to one for a long time. And so I got single and had no idea I had any women. But I will say I'm one of the best writers around anywhere. And I can really say that with confidence. And I've also done very high level, you know, movies and writing for BMW and other people. So I'm really a wordsmith. So someone told me about something called online dating, which I didn't even know what it was. And I'm like, I can write to them instead of walk up in a bar? I had no idea what to say. Well, that's awesome. And I can also read them and see what their interests are. I can craft a letter to them based on, within my book, what I call her idealized self. And I went online, and it was like winning the lottery, because no one had ever read a profile like mine. No one had ever been communicated to, like I could communicate with them. And I just had more women, you know, from 0 to 1,000 in a couple of months. And it's been 10 years now, so I can say, you know, there were times where I was sleeping with, you know, 5 women a weekend, you know, because I had it stacked. So I had Friday night, Sunday, Sunday night. And I had a system where, you know, I would set them up for an early date, meet them for a glass of wine or something, and then the second date usually was the closer. And I was going out of my mind. It was so much fun. It was unbelievable fun. I remember I had only been with one woman for the last 17 years. So I really kind of mastered online dating, and kind of on a lark, because so many people were asking me, where are you meeting all these beautiful women? And I said, oh, there's this amazing thing called online dating. You put up a profile, and all these women write to you. And I didn't know. And they were like, no, they don't. And I said, look at your profile. And I'm talking about some of the best known dating experts in the world. Names will not get said. But if you could think of some of the top ones, they could not crack online. And I got them online, and it would change the world. And so they said, you got to write a book. And I'm like, at that point, I was actually writing for Disney. I was doing a movie for Disney Animation. And I was like, writing for kids. And I said, yeah, I could do that. And I did it on a lark, you know, just because I understood the process. I loved the subject. I love women. And I love communicating with women. So I wrote this book, and it became this huge seller, mostly through David D'Angelo. He interviewed me, and suddenly I had a global following. I'm like, holy crap, there's really a hunger for men. And I've also written for women at this point. There's really a hunger.
That's a pretty good mark of quality, you know, if David D'Angelo included you in his program.
Well, he not only included me, like I don't say this to brag, but I just want people to understand the quality of this work, is when you join his Guru Mastermind, if you do, I'm the first one you get, because my interview kept more people in his program than Neil Strauss from The Game or Mystery or anybody. So I was their number one most popular interview ever, because my information is really good. I mean, it really speaks to women's hearts. It opens them up. I do a nice balance, what I call electric contrast in online dating. So you both express your heart, but you also your spine, your wit, and there's a whole way of kind of creating a little mysterious combination that women find really intriguing. So that was pretty crazy. And by the way, just side note, that interview I did after meeting a woman, I was pulled onto a reality show. She found my profile online. They didn't know who I was. I'd just written a book. It hadn't even been published. And on this TV show, this woman found, it was a dating show, and she found my profile, and she goes, I want to meet this guy. and they called me up. And they had no idea who I was, so I ended up going on that show. And I did the interview with David D'Angelo the morning after I met her, and we spent the whole night together, just enamored of each other. We really kind of fell in love with it, and we dated for a long time. But a little short story there. But I was so full of the happiness of meeting someone awesome that I think that infused the interview with energy and happiness. So a side note.
Can definitely see your wordsmithing even in your speech. Even the way you described the process was like probably that alone would turn women on. Just explaining the process of how to turn women on the way that you say it.
Dude, there's a whole list. I actually have a list of my book is called Deep Attraction Online, the one about online dating. A whole list of words to actually infuse your profile so that it's a sensual stew, that you can feel that you're a sensual, alive being without being overtly sexual, which is really much more attractive before she knows who you are.
Sensual stew, I love that.
Yeah, you can order it at McDonald's. No. I've watched it at McDonald's. It comes right before the Happy Meal.
That's right. So you really found sort of your calling in teaching guys how to recreate the sort of mastery that you did with online dating.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, bringing that into sort of the discussion of seduction here. And by the way, guys, if you do have any questions, feel free to submit them either using the, the webinar question form or press *2 on your phone and you'll be able to ask questions for Adam. So how's the process different, I guess, online, especially when it comes to, you said like by the second date you're usually, you know, closing, I presume that's seduction. So
right.
How does that process differ from girls that you meet, you know, organically sort of in your day-to-day existence?
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, is it usually like faster the way that you do it online? I mean, are they like close to seduction when you meet them?
Totally. Because you can control the environment. I like to play games I can win. So when you're online, when they come across your profile, if you're at a bar, okay, or freaking club, and you're not 6'2", and you're not great looking, you know, you're fighting an uphill battle. Online, you can, everyone should know this here, that the woman's most erotic organ is her imagination. You know, if you can inflame a woman's imagination, you win. You win. I mean, the woman I'm dating now, who is, yeah, I don't know if you met her. Did you meet her?
I believe so. I won't say her name, but I think I have met her, yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure. When we saw each other last, but we were there a few months. She's like, just stunning. I mean, she's absolutely stunning.
It's delightful,
she actually
yes.
went on. Her friends made her go online because guys hit on her left and right all day, upside down and backwards. She went online. I saw her the first day. She had 170 emails
uh-huh.
the first day, and I got through, you know. And on our second day, we sat in her apartment answering the guys. She was like, you cannot believe how stupid guys are. They send me the stupidest shit. They send me like, hey, what's up? And, oh, you're really pretty. And, you know, dumb things. And they don't read her profile, and there's a million things they do wrong. Anyway, the point is this, that I was talking about a buddy of mine. I go, yeah, well, he's so good looking. She goes, no, he isn't. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I don't, you know, I said, who do you think is good looking? She goes, I don't know who's good looking. She goes, every guy wants the same thing for me. I'm so used to being hit on that I don't even see them until I know them. When I know them, then I can see if they're good looking or not. That was an amazing statement.
Wow,
I never heard it put that way. She goes, you know, because women, it's how they feel about you, that determines if they want to have sex with you, whether they want to be with you. So you've got to inflame her imagination. And I'm a little different from pickup and all that because a lot of pickup is about, you know, how do I get, how do I get, how do I get? And I find that insanely unattractive in a man. Most women I know find that insanely unattractive, that hungry wolf thing, you know,
right.
Where they're just trying to get something from women. So everything I teach, from Deep Attraction Online to Erotic Mastery, I just did a program called Instant Confidence with Women, which is a great program. I'll be sure to give you a link for that. It's all about this is the mind frame. How can I make your life better? How can I make this woman's life better? Most people are bored. Most women are watching Beverly Hills Housewives or whatever, or Snooki, or bullshit. Their imaginations are dead. And if you can inflame her imagination with a profile that really you know, lights her up. She's like, holy shit. And if you can write her a letter that what I call sings to her idealized self, you read her profile and really find out where she stakes her love. You know, how does she love the world? How does she love people? How does she love her pets, her sisters, whatever it is? If you can find that and speak to how she loves and provide the elements of what I call the sensual stew and promise her, without actually promising her, but be the promise of a more interesting, sensual, expansive life, that's sexy. That is what's sexy, and that really draws women to you, which is why by the second date it was like a done deal.
So she basically feels like she's known you for years, and that's before you ever even met.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really interesting point. I never thought about it this way, but you know, in traditional seduction pickup, they say if you meet a girl at a club, you know, move her to a second place, move her to a third place.
Right.
And it gives her that feeling of being in multiple places, like you've known each other. Yeah, online is kind of like that. You can, you know, if you even tell a story about yourself, and there are ways of telling stories about yourself and your family and where you grew up, there's ways of framing stories where she's already going to feel like she knows you, and she's going to kind of adore you, you know, because you're not just some guy listing what I call, most guys when they go online, they do what I call the garage sale. Like, here's all my shit. Here's the blanket on the lawn. Here's all my shit. These are the hobbies.
I don't want to play any games, right?
It's bullshit. Yeah, it's like there's nothing there. There's nothing to inflame her imagination. It's just here's what I got. I've been to these countries and I do these sports and I went to, you know, who cares? Like, that's nice. Mm-hmm. But really, who cares? I mean, that's how guys communicate with guys. Men have evolved to communicate data, to transfer data to each other. I mean, I'll do a quick, because I've done a lot of study in evolutionary biology and neurology. And men have developed to communicate with each other to the bottom line, or cut to the chase, right? So the idea is, there's a mastodon over there, let's go get it, you know? And then everyone's quiet, because you have a job to do. That's how we evolve, really. I mean, I'm not joking. That's how we evolve. That's why men like being quiet together. That's why men like doing things together, where we like to communicate facts and useful information, and why women like to talk about emotions all the time. And we don't, generally, because women evolve. Their whole communication centers are evolved around bonding. They had to figure out if the other women in the tribe or the clan were on their side or not, if their kids would be safe. They had to watch the other men. They had to watch the other women. They had to be alert to any fluctuation in, is this woman, does she like me? Does she not like me? Is my kid safe? And that's what we now call a woman's intuition. It's very real. It's a real thing. It's how our minds have evolved. We have very different minds. And I teach women how to go online and communicate with men in a way that men can actually hear them. Because most women write these stupid profiles from a man's point of view, which is like, oh, I love my friends, I love my family, here's a picture of my cat. Right? That's basically what they feel like. But what they're saying is, I am full of love, and the core of my being is love. But we don't hear it that way, and they're not even communicating it well. But that's what they're saying. They're saying, my life is love. And men are saying, this is my status. You know, this is how I measure myself, because I've done these things. But who cares? Women don't really care about that so much. They care about, you know, do you have the capacity to protect them, to cherish them, to open up their world, to lead them, to excite them, to bring them into some new kind of experience? I mean, that's the really cool stuff. That's what really gets their imaginations up. And you do it with humor, obviously. Yeah.
We talk a lot about, you know, in the attraction stage, the sort of first stage of interaction, there's a lot of humor and light conversation going. But by the time you get to seduction, it's a lot about trust. And I think, you know, you're talking about they probably, like you're saying, you're able to stoke these fires of imagination and sort of, I'm, you know, guessing, you know, conveying a lot of vulnerability and connecting on an emotional level so that she trusts you probably more than a lot of the guys that she's been around for a long time in her day-to-day life, that she doesn't ever get past that sort of surface level interaction, even though they might be, I'm just sort of imagining, you know, in their day-to-day life, there's a lot of guys who might have like a crush on her if she's a beautiful woman, but they never let down that like vulnerability shield. They never let her like see the kind of person that they really are. They keep it at this like status level, like you were saying. And, you know, so if you can show her those parts of you, you know, she's going to feel like she's known you and she'll trust you more than a lot of guys that she probably sees a lot more often.
Oh, totally true. I mean, what's sexier than a guy breaking down crying because his dog just got put down? Or, you know, I mean, like, the women are dying for men to be vulnerable within the context of strength. They're not looking for men to be weak. It's a very important difference. But they want to see your real self eventually, you know. There is that first banter phase where it's kind of fun and you're kind of cocky and you're giving all the right signals that you don't need her, that you're not trying to get anything from her. My friend Brent Smith, you guys, I don't know if you work with Brent. Brent is a great dating coach, and he coined this great phrase, the difference is indifference.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you could show, I don't need you. And in all my work, you know, I actually show how to frame it linguistically in, I have a program called Instant Confidence with Women. The frame is, whether you're online or offline, is this. I am choosy, and I choose you. And that's it. And so, you know, if you frame it that way, and there are ways of framing the conversation, or, you know, I move to the next phase, but that's from that's how you communicate. But, you know?
Right, that non-neediness.
Yes. Even if you feel a little needy inside. That's why I call it instant confidence with women, because you don't really feel confident all the time, and nobody really feels confident all the time, okay? Mm-hmm. I know everyone in this business, and every guru and every teacher has their moments, and I certainly do. But there are ways of communicating that make women feel that trust that you're talking about, and absolutely, being trustable is the ground of all this stuff. And being trustable means you keep your word and you get places on time. We talked about that right at the beginning of this call. You know, I say to guys, I will meet you at 6:45, you know, give an odd time. And then be there at 6:45. And it's very subtle, but it shows I'm trustworthy. I actually keep my word.
That's pretty powerful. Do you have any other sort of just like instant changes that you can start making immediately like that will start just making you a more trustworthy man in general? I mean, that's a pretty easy change to implement in your daily life, is just start paying attention to, you know, being punctual and specifically, you know, choosing a sort of odd time. That's something that'll set you apart and show that you're really in control of your environment.
Yeah. There are a lot of, actually, it's funny. I have in Instant Confidence with Women, I have 21 conversation power flippers.
Wow.
Because it's so subtle. And it's funny, you know, so much of this comes out of, obviously there's a lot of psychology and things like that, but a lot of it comes out of business and sales. I'm reading a book just by coincidence this morning called Pitch Anything, because as a screenwriter, I had to pitch movies all the time. And, and he talked about, beta traps, like alpha status and beta traps. Mm-hmm. And when we went in to pitch a movie at the studio, you know, there's a whole process. We have to wait in the lobby, you have to write your name, you have to wear a stupid badge. So you feel like a child going to, you know, on a field trip, and they, you know, they bring you a cup of water, so you feel like a prisoner, and they finally walk you into the giant office of some piddling executive, and you have to sit on this really low couch while they sit up in a high chair above you, and it's all gamesmanship, right? And really, dating's the same thing. Business is the same. Sales, if you understand sales and marketing, you're going to understand a lot about dating and positioning, and so, you know, a lot of times there are beta traps that people set for you, where they make you the beta. So what I teach in Instant Confidence is how to instantly become the alpha. So I can give you a couple of those.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we wouldn't have time to go through all 21, but yeah, one or two.
It's
phenomenal.
I love this stuff. By the way, this is the same stuff that goes into screenwriting. I mean, these are exactly those shifts that you have in characters that really, you know, create intrigue and shift the power. Created and then saw how well they worked. So I've sort of collected them over time. But here's one of my favorite things. If you're at a bar, and this is deadly. I mean, you cannot lose with this. Seriously. It's never backfired. You're holding a drink in your hand, you hold your drink up, and you go, get it here, we're celebrating. Right? Only the worst kind of woman is not going to clink glasses with you. Okay? Only the worst kind of woman. And guess what? You don't want her anyway. I don't care what she looks like. You don't want her. She's not fun, right? So anyone, they'll go, well, what are we celebrating? Of course, you've now forced them to say that. Now, there is your opening. So, okay. I could really do an hour on just this. So depending on what you want to communicate, you can engage empathy. You can induce fear. You can induce them being impressed with you. You can be totally cocky and hilarious. I'll give you some examples. So, and you should have all of these ready, and I give all the examples. But like one, you could do something like, hey, I'm celebrating. I just finished my first Ironman competition. Or if you've done something cool, right? I just did my first skydive. Or if you've pushed your edge in some way, okay? So anytime you've pushed your edge, and that's what I mean about being excited about your life, you've got to push your edges all the time. And, you know, the more crazy shit I did, the easier it was to meet women all the time. Like, I went to Peru and did crazy shamanic things with tribes people. You know, I talked about that, and they were like, holy shit, that's amazing, you know? I went climbing in the Himalayas. I studied Tantra. That was a big thing. I really wanted to be the best lover a woman wanted because you want to be the best lover she ever had. So I went and studied with all these Tantra teachers, and I discovered when I was sitting in cafes reading books on Tantra, women would come up to me. Okay? What's that? Mm-hmm. I've heard of that. It's like that sex thing, right? You know, and then, of course, you go into the deep spiritual aspect of it, and it's sort of an end run, but it's about sexuality ultimately, but it's really about how you approach the world. So so if you've done something cool, and it's not just being cool, guys. It's pushing your edge. How have you challenged yourself? How is that an interesting story? And then you could lead it to her because she's going to go like, wow, I've always wanted to do that. You're like, great, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's start training next Saturday. There, now you're having fun, right?
Or
right. Like, if you want to go high, you can go, you know, well, what's stopping you? Like, I'm your biggest fan. Let's make it happen. What do you need to do? You know, and get serious depending on that kind of conversation. So that's one thing you can do. Another thing you could do is you could go off sweet, right? If you want to play that, and then again, it comes from reading women and trying to figure out what is it they want to hear, okay? So you do, oh right. That's celebrating. What are we celebrating? I just moved my favorite niece into her first apartment. Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, she graduated college. She didn't know everybody in town, and what that shows, we talked about trustability. Talking about your family shows trust, right?
Right.
That's just that you're helpful, you're heroic, you're doing good things in the world. That's all really fun. Then you can do all kinds of things. If you just finished a course, that's a great opportunity for them to go, oh, why are you studying French or whatever it is. Or my favorite one, the one that really worked, is, hey, we're celebrating. What are we celebrating? Those bitchin' shoes you're wearing. Awesome. You know, and like, you call them a girl's shoes. She's yours. Or you say, what are we celebrating? Friday. You look ready for the weekend. And that's something like, that's a whole other element. When we talk about this, is how to turn the conversation into her. And, you know, look, guys, if you want to have relationships with women, you've got to start reading them. You have to watch their eyes. Are their eyes darting around? Are they breathing well? Are they comfortable in themselves? Do they seem happy, unhappy? What's their body position in relationship to the room, to their friends? You know, how are they holding their drink? Read them. You might be wrong, but you say, I was celebrating you. You look ready for the weekend. Now, celebrate Friday. You look ready for the weekend. Now you're having a conversation. Oh, yeah. I had the longest blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you want to meet women, one of the best things to say is like, wow, you look bored. You know? if they're working in a shop or a gym or something, you look like you're ready. You look like you're ready to get off. I like saying that. That's fine. You look like you're ready to get off. And they're like, I know. I've been here since 6 this morning. Now you're having a conversation because you've read her. You've cared a little bit. You know? So that's a couple of ones with the with that one approach.
All right, so we got the celebration.
That's a great little tactic. I love it. Yeah. God, there's so many things. You want some more?
Well, actually, I was kind of interested. You said you studied Tantra, and you know, since we are sort of talking about seduction, I'm sure that's that you've taught plenty on that topic, and I was just wondering, you know, what that sort of confidence gives you when it comes to the seduction stage?
Great question. It's a great question. Sorry about the engine. I decided to walk outside a little bit. I'll tell you the truth. It was awesome because when I first got divorced, let's just say the sex life wasn't great at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty unsure of everything, actually, really everything about who I was, all of it. And so I knew that I wanted to make love with lots and lots of women. Right? I really wanted that. And I did. And then I started meeting really cool girls who were like massage therapists and had been to Tantra classes, and I started going to all those things. And I saw that there are really beautiful techniques of not just like how to touch her or kiss her, what to do with your tongue, all that matters, but how to breathe, how to co-breathe with her, which is something she won't even know that you're doing, but when you do it, she will feel close to you in ways that she doesn't even know why. So there are breathing techniques. There's ways of being in your body that I had no idea. And I did a lot of martial arts too. But centering my body, it's very related. Just being super grounded, learning how to breathe, learning how to hold your body, and then obviously learning how to do erotic massage, learning how to let her end up taking the initiative because you've built up her tension so much because, again, you're not trying to get anything from her. You're giving her so much that she just can't wait to give it to you. You know, she can't wait to return the pleasure. I mean, it's a natural, I'm sure Dash talks about Robert Cialdini's book, Influence, but one of the ways to influence other people is called reciprocity. Well, you give and they have to give back. They have to in order to create equilibrium, to recreate some kind of equilibrium. Because people are uncomfortable when someone gives them something. And I won't get into all the reasons, but they have to give something back. So you create that tension. And then what I did is I started working with all these tantra teachers because it was super fun. And remember, I had been married for 17 years, so I was like, bring it on. Like, bring on every crazy experience. I had this girlfriend in San Francisco, and we went to all kinds of wild workshops and parties that I don't know if this air carrier is rated high enough for me to actually talk about what happened. But let's just say they're awesome. And then what happened is, you know, I worked with so many women. I'd been with so many women that, you know, I really started reaching a new level of presence with them. You know, like I needed someone who was there with me, who really understood sexuality. And especially when I started dating really young girls, they had no idea. Something I've discovered is that a lot of young girls are just enacting what they see in porn. Like, they really are so disconnected from their true bodies. You know, they're just totally connected to their outer bodies. That I really wanted something deeper, and I ended up spending 2 years working with a teacher named David Data, who wrote The Way of the Superior Man, which everybody should read. And he also wrote The Enlightened Sex Manual and Finding God Through Sex and all kinds of wild things that are super deep about really how to access your core as a man and your core as a being and to enter a woman with full consciousness so that she can feel it. And there are practices in that kind of work where you enter a woman as all men, as all masculinity. You enter her with a consciousness of her being all nature or all women who ever lived. It's an amazing, and they feel it. I mean, they have intuition. So there are ways of getting out of that sort of grunt of like, you know, like that sex, which is, you know, nothing.
And like you said, you know, a lot of guys will go out sort of wanting to really, it still goes back to the status thing. They want to, you know, hook up with a chick because they want to prove to their buddies that they can do it. And that's like completely coming from the wrong place.
Well, again, I hate to say wrong because, dude, I did that for years. I had to be totally honest. You know, I had to prove to myself I was worth something because I didn't feel worthy. And I loved it. I had a great time. And I wouldn't be myself if I didn't go through that period, seriously. It's like I always talk about, and I don't want guys to feel bad about it because, you know, I always talk about like oxygen. If someone's holding you underwater, what are you going to be thinking about? Breathe, right? If you're not having sex, you're just thinking about sex. And until you do that, you're going to go, okay, now what am I going to do? And I once wrote a piece called From Fucking Everything That Moves to Being Moved by Everyone You Fuck. And there was a moment when that actually happened. So I don't want to make guys feel bad about that because sometimes you just want that, not only for their buddies, but really for themselves, ultimately.
Sure.
Right? You're really doing it for themselves. So then you kind of feel good about yourself. Then what? You know, at this point in my life, I'm writing much more about love and relationship and really creating something that's extraordinary. And I always say that everyone's running around looking for love, but nobody knows what to do with it when they find it because they really haven't trained themselves in communication skills and knowing who they are. Same with sex. Everyone wants to have sex, but they really don't know what they're doing in a way that a woman's going to be like, you are the best lover I ever had. And you want to be that guy. And there's, I have a course called eroticmastery.com that really covers it. It's really interesting because it covers that whole, how do you create a sensual lifestyle? How do you present yourself so that you're a sensual being? So you're not some doofus in golf clothes. Sorry, golf players. You know, how does she look at you and go, wow, this guy's sensual? How do you talk about food? How do you talk about textures? How do you arrange your house? You know, what are you wearing? so that they actually feel a sensuality. What are the words you use, especially online? All the way through, you know, sexual technique, massage, all that stuff, but really all the way to really deep spiritual connection. You know, without overusing the word spiritual, I don't even know what that means anymore, frankly. But let's say a real deep being-to-being connection, so that when you look into her eyes, when you're making love to her, she's looking, you're looking through her into something else, and she's looking through you into something much bigger than you. And without getting too much into that, that is the most powerful thing. When you connect deeper than your own personalities, when you connect into something much deeper, and that is just, once, it's like once you do that, it's really hard to go back. I mean, you can't. It's, you know, for fun. But it's a whole different level. So I want to get the message out that there's, you know, that these are skills. These are, there are levels to attain that most people will never even hear about. Most people go through their lives and never learn these skills, never learn how to really connect to a woman, never really learn how to have her relax and melt into you because you are so trustworthy and so sure and gentle and cherishing and strong in how you hold and lead her. And I'm not, this is not bullshit. People have never heard this stuff. You gotta read this. I'll tell a story. There was a girl last year. I'm 49. I was with a girl last year. She's 20 and beautiful, beautiful girl. And I met her and I was wherever I was and, went to dinner and went back to the hotel room. And as I was lowering her to the bed, she actually said, she didn't know anything about, you know, I feel like I'm being seduced by a professional. And I said, you are. I said, but it doesn't mean everything I said isn't authentic and everything I did. Because I was so connected with her because I was really with her. I wasn't playing tricks on her. I was connecting with her and feeling what her dreams were, feeling with it through her language of who she was and how she saw herself and what she valued about herself. And, of course, you know, then there's all the physical technique of how do you touch somebody, how do you create intimacy, things like that. Let me give you two quick tips because I know guys want them. Ready?
Right.
These are two quick tips.
Okay,
so,
here we go.
Again, yeah, just these are really useful. I know really, I'm getting very high here, and there really are high levels to attain.
Oh, it's really important, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, you got to go somewhere. So this one I learned because I did it 2 years ago. I was in Vancouver at a conference. This really cute girl. And we were talking, and I said, come here. Because we were standing out in the lobby, and I said, come around the corner. So I took her around the corner, and I just put my hand on her cheek, and I said, I'm going to kiss you. And I kissed her. Okay. I was like, that's it. Guys say, well, how do you go for the kiss? I said, if you really want to take the risk out, you actually look her in the eye and say, I'm going to kiss you. Or, you are so beautiful, I'm going to kiss you now. Right? And then what I did was, I didn't, of course, kiss her on the lips first. I leaned in and then kissed her on the neck. I slowly, gently kissed my way up to her lips. So that surprised her, too. So guys always think like, well, how do you go for the kiss, clothes, or whatever language people use. Fucking say it. Say, you're beautiful. I'm really enjoying talking to you, and I'm going to kiss you now. Another way I did this was, and I'll tell a funny story. My first internet date where I had no idea what I was doing, and I spent like $600, like no kidding. And I bought this girl. It was amazing. Now I get to her front door, and she was a little overwhelmed because I did all this amazing shit. And like in terms of, you know, the date, how well I thought it out, the thematics were all working. And she goes, so what's the protocol? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'll call you and we'll go out again. I had no idea what to say, right?
Right.
She was saying, will you please take me upstairs and ravish me? But I didn't know that. So flash forward a bunch of years and a woman said to me as I was walking to the door, she goes, so what now? And I took her by the shoulders and I turned her to face my body and looked her deep in the eyes and I said, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to kiss you. If you like it, you're going to kiss me back. I like it. I'm going to pick you up, carry you through that doorway, and make love by it. If we both like it, next month we'll go to Hawaii. Okay. Now, you want me to break down all the elements of that?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was, her eyes were like saucers, you know? I used to write for Disney. She was like a Disney princess at that point. Because I created something for her. I created a whole, first of all, I created a whole romantic story, right? But I also built in qualifiers. You know, if you kiss me, if I like it, you know, I was going to like it, but, you know, I built in the qualifier. If I like it, you know, I will pick you up, carry you through the door, and make love all night. So that's assuming the clothes, and that's also in my Instant Confidence book. it's the same as great salespeople do. You assume the close. So a man has to, when you go out and meet women, you have to assume that she already likes you. You have to assume that you're likable. And there are ways of doing that. That's also obviously my work. How do you get rid of all those negative thoughts? How do you really bring yourself forward so that you know you're likable, you know you have something to offer? It's not bullshit something to offer. It's actually who you are, your character. Who are you as a man? And you're bringing yourself that way. So you're going to assume she wants to be with you. Just like with a woman, you're going to assume. Women are sexual beings. Assume that she wants to make love with you. Maybe not tonight. It doesn't have to be tonight. That's just your fucking ego. You don't have to do a one-night close and all that bullshit. But just assume that she's a sexual being. And if you're trustworthy and you're interesting and you can open up her world and you can make her life better and you can also, you know, bring her physical pleasure in ways that no one else has, you're going to carry yourself very, very differently.
Right. Yeah. So if there's like maybe like a mindset sort of shift that kind of will lead guys down that path of realizing, you know, what they have to offer and assuming that, you know, they're valuable, what in your experience, you know, what's been one of the biggest ones?
Well, look, here's the thing. There's a bunch of them. It's a whole process. And it's not something that happens overnight. There's no magic pill.
Right.
These are called practices because you have to practice. You really have to do it every day. So I would start by saying you really are not going to go anywhere until you start releasing the negative thoughts. And there's a whole process of how to release those thoughts daily, every time they arise. I can't go through the whole thing now. It's in my Instant Confidence for Women book, but there's a four-step process that you do every time you have a negative thought about yourself. So that's one thing. And the other thing is to have seven mindset techniques to change your mindset. So you have to deal with the stuff that's holding you back, but there's also proactive ways of bringing your best self forward. And again, I want to underline that the real value here is when you understand your value for real. You know that you're a good man. You know that you're a helpful man. You know that you're a kind man. You know that you're a man of some kind of mission, that you're about something more than just yourself, that you're pushing your edges and you're not a lazy fuck. You know, and you're pushing your intellectual, your emotional edges. By being on this call, by being part of Dal Badass, you're doing that. You're saying, like, I don't want to be in stasis. I
right.
want to be a better man than I am. I want to be an awesome guy so I can meet the most awesome women in the world. So you're already doing that. So all these kind of ways, when you know that you're pushing your edges and you're on a journey and you're not Homer Simpson, you know, and you're just like, you know,
right.
or you're just not in stasis or full of yourself or self-satisfied or, you know, wrapped up in your ego, when you're that guy, that's really the most powerful thing there is. And women love that. They want to.
You're really giving her a gift at that point.
It's all about, that's a great word. That is the mindset. I am, you know, here to give my gifts. And really, I mean, I don't mean as a like, oh, I'm here to give my gifts, you know. And
right.
here it is. You know, I don't mean that. but yeah, really giving your gifts as a man. And there's a lot of them. And God, I could talk for hours because I've been doing this for a while and I love the subject, you know. I love
right.
people actually getting happy. But I'll just throw out one thing here that most guys won't think of. And it really comes from being a father, by the way. Because as a father, I've learned naturally to really take care of other people, to be very attentive to their needs, very attentive to their pain, their wounds, the movement of their emotions, their physical safety, right? My
mm-hmm.
my younger son, he was like a tornado. He's like the Tasmanian devil. You know, he would crawl out of his stroller if I turned around and climb shelves in a video store back when we had video stores. And I would turn around and it would be empty and he'd come shelling at my head from five shelves up. Because he thought that was hilarious, right? And he ended up being, he's like an MMA fighter. he's really a warrior.
Still got that energy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was born a warrior. So, you know, I'm very attentive in ways that you know, guys without kids may not be. So one of the ways you can induce trust, which is the spine of all this stuff, is to really take care of it, to really be concerned for safety. And there are little ways of communicating that, and there are big ways of communicating it. And again, my girlfriend now, when I went to her apartment the first time, I noticed her name was in full on the sort of tag, you know, on the front door of the apartment building. I had her first
mm-hmm.
name and last name. I said, you shouldn't have that there. That's, you know, you don't want people to know a single woman living alone. That's number one. She's like, oh, I didn't think of that. So she had never lived in an apartment. And then The other thing is she said she slept with her doors open, and I went up to the balcony to see if there was any way to climb up, or if people, not just for me, I just wanted to see if she was safe, if there was any access, because it just so happens that that was my big move in college. I would climb the outside of buildings into girls' windows. Like, don't ask. That was my thing. I love climbing. That's from New York, and I'm very attentive to safety. And she was like, what are you doing? I said, well, I want to make sure nobody can climb in. You said, you know, I want to make sure you're safe. And she said that was one of the biggest turnoffs. Like, no one had ever thought about that for her. And she loved the fact that a man was thinking about her physical safety. So it's one of the many characteristics and the gifts that you can bring as a man that you might not think of as super sexy, but women find very sexy.
And if you sort of have that in your mind, then it's going to be picked up by, like you said, the woman's intuition. You know, she's going to feel safe around you.
Yeah. And look, I'm very protective of women in general. Just, I don't know, maybe because I have little sisters, but I have kids or whatever, but I'm very protective. I'm very physically protective. So this is a very nice thing. A lot of young guys don't do this anymore, but women actually love it. If you cross the street, you take her arm. If you step over a curb, if you're walking up or down stairs, you take her arm. If she's wearing heels, you take a special care of guiding her, right? You put your body, if there's a dog coming, put your body without saying anything between her and the big dog, even if it's on a leash. If there's a stranger coming, if it's nighttime, make sure your body is between them. These are little gestures that are actually showing that you're actually caring about her and you're not just trying to get stuff.
That's very powerful.
Yep.
So I can't help but think that a lot of this is also communicated through the way that you touch her. I mean, especially, you know, when you get into the seduction, you know, part of the interaction.
Yep.
I guess if you could talk just like a little bit about touch, you know, what you see the guys might be like, what they might be doing at first, and you kind of have to correct as far as touch goes, because I know that's huge in communicating your trustworthiness and even your sexuality.
Right. So it's a great question. These guys do this all wrong. You know, guys, the grossest thing with guys like hang over women, they don't know. Sometimes it works, by the way. If everyone's drunk and you're at a bar, like, fuck it, you know, go for it.
Right.
But I'm not talking about that. So if you meet a woman, obviously, I'm sure Josh talked about this. This is standard smart behavior. You touch him right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Touch her on the arm,
yep.
Touch her on the shoulder. The way you just communicating with her, just that you're not afraid. You're comfortable, especially around beautiful women. I'm comfortable around beautiful women. I'll touch you. You know, I love to play with it. Obviously, you can reverse it, call a dude, punch her in the arm in like a fun, playful way. Right on,
mm-hmm.
dude. Like my girl, again, I was talking about my girlfriend again. She's awesome. Like, I told all my shit on her at the beginning. I'm like, yeah, dude. And she goes, dude, you call me dude? All right, bitch, bring it on. And so every time I said, dude, and I do it without thinking. You know, I go, all right, dude, come on. She goes, all right, bitch. So we still do it 6 months later. So it's good stuff. She, I couldn't get anything past her. You know, Harvard girl. No way. So that's one thing. So touch her immediately in a really fun. You could do it in a normal way, just like, that's really beautiful, and touch her on the shoulder. Or you could, like, punch her on, awesome, dude. Boom. And it's like, that, of course, throws them off, because then you're masculinizing them, and then they have to recreate that feminine equilibrium by being more of a girl. Now, that's good for younger women. Once you're in the 30s or 40s, they're on to you. Trust me. Like, once they're 35, you can't pull this shit, because they've been around, they've seen it, they get it. That's one thing. One thing I love to do, and I have to say, I love women, and I adore women, and I'm sure that comes out in how I touch and treat them. So they like that. So I'll be talking to a woman, yeah, first date, could be somebody I just met in a store, and she's talking to them, leaning forward. There was nothing that will stop me from reaching over and just pushing her hair behind her ear as she's talking, and just I won't make a point of it, I'll just keep talking. So mm-hmm. what that communicates is, that's the behavior, if you had to categorize it, is we're already a couple. That's that assume the clothes, assume the relationship. So I'll do that all the time. I love doing that. I just also love women's hair in their ears. So I'll push it back, and never has anyone objected.
That's
like,
brilliant.
They're always like, oh, wow, he just claimed me. Wow. It's very, you know, look, if she hates it, you don't want her. Move on.
Right.
There's a million women. So don't, you know, that's the thing about all of these sort of behaviors. Like, if you find someone who doesn't like it, fuck it. Julian's going go online.
How'd you say only the worst kind of women will react that way?
Yeah, and who needs them? So, like, you know, and whatever, they, for whatever reason, and I'm not putting them down, they just might be stuck up. They might be have been really hurt before. There's a million reasons why they may not like it. But all I'm saying is, you know, for the 90 out of 100 that liked it, do it. And for those other 10, go on Match.com and meet 100 more women. I mean, abundance, abundance, abundance mentality. And I was going to say one other touch thing.
Absolutely.
I just love this one so much. I'll give credit. I learned it from Lance Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up 101 is awesome. And this is the greatest technique ever. So it's the old sort of high five, right?
Yep.
You do a high five, and then you actually take her hand gently. You clasp your hand if you're at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And you just take her hand, and you lower it, and you kind of hold it behind her back. Like, not in a forceful way, but in like a secret
right.
kind of, I'm holding your hand. And then, so she's like, oh, he just claimed me. It's like claiming again. You've claimed the woman, which is very different than seducing, by the way. I should do a whole thing on the difference between claiming and seducing. Claiming is powerful. Seducing is, you know, you've got a little bit of it's fun. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's fun. But claiming a woman is when you're coming from your power. So you do that, and then you take her hand behind her back. And then here's the really fun part. Then you turn away and talk to somebody else and you keep your hand there. Now she's all confused because you send all these, what I call the electric contrast, these contrasting messages. On the one hand, you've claimed her. You're holding her hand, right? On the other hand, you've turned away and you're not even paying attention to her because you're talking to someone else at the party. So now you have this little secret going on, and now she's like, well, what's happening? Like, you know? So that's a beautiful, beautiful technique. I have actually used it, and it's unbelievable.
That's awesome, definitely.
But get back to me on the difference between claiming and seducing. I actually may do something about that. That's actually a good subject.
Well, as soon as you do,
I'm
sure everybody's
yeah, okay.
going to be like very fascinated with that. Sounds amazing already.
Yeah, you'll be the first. You're the first to know this. But the last few days, I've been thinking about. You know, I know Neil, and I read The Game, of course, years ago.
Right.
And like The Game is all about getting, 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 and it's very unmasculine. It's very weaselly. You know, there's something. It
right.
works in some cases, but there's something that you don't feel good about yourself. Even Neil said it. But I wanted to think of a higher game where you're kind of doing the same things, but not from a getting perspective, but from a giving perspective. And that's the difference between claiming and seducing. You know, claiming women and giving them pleasure is fucking awesome. You should be so proud of yourself. You know, gaining
right.
women and seducing them, you really want to tell your mother about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's something that comes with it. It's fun. I'm not gonna say it's not fun. But in the end, it's an entirely different perspective. To come from claim rather than seduction. So you heard it first right here. I think I'm going to do something about that.
Right here on the founding members call. So I'd like to, you know, just let everybody know just one more time. I think, you know, we'll take off here in a couple of minutes. But before we do, if anybody has a question for Adam, if you're on the phone, just push *2 and it'll raise your hand and I'll get to you. Or if you're listening on the web, type in the question to the form on the side of the page there. And, you know, if you get that to us in the next few minutes, we'll be able to answer a few questions. We've been able to, you know, talk over quite a lot here, actually. Let's see. I guess you're... Like, again, your specialty is the online dating thing. And I guess let's just boil down, if we could, just like a couple quick tips like you did for the other things here. And, you know, if there's like one change that you know, anybody who's looking into the online dating thing could do just to see like success, obviously, you know, we'll talk about your book here in a second, but, you know.
Yeah, I've got 30. There are 30 things to do, and they're in the book.
Okay.
There's no one thing. But
right.
the main thing is, actually, to learn how to speak in the language that women feel rather than in the language that men hear. Okay? Men will write to men. Men are basically writing to men, and women are basically writing to women because we're using the language that is natural to us. But if you really want to stand out online, I mean really stand out, like cut through those 170 emails my girlfriend got on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to stand out, you've got to do these things. You've got to speak in a language that women are going like, fuck, who's this guy? Like, wow. Like I got to meet this guy. And it includes things like sensual language, embedded sensuality, intrigue, electric contrast, creating mystery, cliffhanger, you know, there's, of course, humor in there, sense of service, sense of something bigger than yourself. You know, you got to hit, there's all these little triggers that really open women up for good reason, because they're signals that you've got something to offer, that you're the giving person, you know. And that's what I'd say, you know. It's like, learn that language, which I teach. Learn the language that women actually feel.
All right, that's really powerful. So we do have one question here, if you don't mind. We'll unmute our friend Brett here. He's got a question for you. Oh, Brett, are you there?
Brett,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, yep, we can hear you, man.
All right, I've got two questions about online dating.
Yeah,
perfect.
The first one is, I've tried a lot of different emails trying to get women to respond, everything from being playful to being serious, I guess, and just nothing's consistent.
They're women. Well, first of all, if they're women, of course nothing's consistent. I'm not joking. They're not machines. They're women. They're the least consistent things on God's green earth. So, okay, next. there's no overall solution. You know, not everything works with everybody.
Right. Is there any key things you read in profiles that may decide to which way to kind of go?
Well, yeah, of course. I like to look. I mean, there's a bunch of things I do. I love to make fun of them, obviously. You look for opportunities for humor. So like one girl I got, she was very beautiful, and there's a picture of her in a white sweater. It's in my book, actually. I wrote about it. And she was standing outside, and there were people way in the background, and it looked like there was, like, little people standing in her head. You know how it looks in a picture? So I'm like, yeah, you said, I read your profile. You seem like a pretty good girl, you know, except for that dorky sweater and those little people walking around your head, those little midgets on your head or something. You know, so she had to laugh, you know. She wrote to me. We went out. It was awesome. You know, so I look for opportunities for humor, but I also look for opportunities of how she stakes her identity. What is it that she admires about herself? And can you find that? And then you do the whole I'm choosy and I choose you. Look, I've read a lot of profiles, and a lot of it's just full of, you know, garbage, people just putting down whatever. But what really touched me about your profile is the way you wrote about your dog/horse/vibrator/family, whatever it is, that she feels, you know, particularly close to. And the, like, one of the key things to do with women is to understand that their core is their desire to love and be loved, okay? When I talk about the language that women operate in, their core is they want to love and be loved. And if you can speak to that, you know, something like, I can really sense how much you love your sister. It's like, it's really powerful, you know. My sister and I are blah, blah, blah. Now you've created a great connection, but you've seen how well she loves. So if you look at, I look at everything with women through the scrim of, how is she asking to love and be loved? You know, how does she like to love and be loved? Whatever she's doing at work, working out, all her activities really mean nothing if she doesn't feel loved. Whereas men are very different, you know. So that's the language you want to really look for. So those are a couple of things. Look for something fun, funny to tease her about. And try to find the core of her. And if she's like a spiritual girl, if she's a deep girl in any kind of way, she's going to really appreciate that, because most men will never take the time. They don't know how.
Okay.
What was your second question, Brett?
All right. Getting girls and women to actually leave the online profile and actually commit to coming out with you. I get that pullback away, and they're like, well, let's wait a little bit longer and see how things go.
Yeah, that's bullshit. So you got to call them on that right away. So there's a few ways of doing that. I have a rule, 2 emails to the telephone, right, and telephone to a meeting if you want one. So the way you have to do it, you have to set that up from the start. And a lot of this stuff, there's a lot of parallels between business and relationships. You've got to manage expectations. You know, if you walk into a business, if you're running a business and everyone knows what your expectations are, they're going to live up to them. If you meet a woman, like, this is how I run my life, you know, she's going to step up to it or not, you know? And so, I always say, like, you seem interesting. I have a busy schedule. You have a busy schedule. Let's get on the phone. see if we like each other. You know, you can call me or I call you, whatever makes you feel safe, because I understand there's a lot of safety issues out there in the world, and I'm very sensitive to that for women. Whatever you like, but let's have a conversation. And then the other thing to do is to not ask her out, but, and this is my classic, and it really works. Hey, I am going to be in your neighborhood on Thursday night between 7 and 9. I'm going to be at X Wine Bar or whatever. Come meet me there. It'll be a great chance for us to meet. You're not asking. You're telling. You're directing her. You're giving direction. You're not being like every guy. And I got to tell you, you sound like a young guy. What is a real pet peeve of mine with young guys who I think are missing the boat because of the way the culture has gone. The language of young people today is so... Young people today. I sound like fucking I'm that guy. I'm a guy like a bastard. But, you know, I caught language, you know, at university. The guys will say, you want to hang out, you know, you want to chill. I mean, it's so fucking vague. That is not claiming a woman. There's no power to that. So you say, I'm going to be at such and such, 7 o'clock on Thursday. Come meet me there. It's a great place to meet. There's an amazing, I used to invite girls to this place where they had Belgian chocolate martini. But there's an amazing Belgian chocolate martini. You will love it. Nowhere in that statement is there a question. It's all direction. It's compassionate direction, but it's direction. That's how you get them there. And if they're namby-pamby about it, you know, chances are you really haven't caught her attention. You know, your profile isn't strong enough. Your communication isn't strong enough. She doesn't feel the power of who you are.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Brett?
Yeah, and open up a bunch of doors.
There's a lot there. And look, even given that, some girls will still flake, so, you know.
Right.
Again, there's no, yeah, you can't always win.
Okay.
I'll tell you a funny story. Again, it's funny, I keep going back to this girl I'm with, like the only girl I ever dated, which is not true. But I really like her, and she was hilarious, you know. And she played me as well as I played her. But, you know, she wouldn't get on the phone with me. She goes, I'll text with you, because I said, all right, go ahead, let's play. And we played a little, and I said, well, meet me. I'm going to be in Beverly Hills. You know, come meet me for dinner. I'll be in town at 7. And she's like, okay, and she suggested a place. I immediately suggested another place, okay, because you must take the lead of the man. You've got to be claiming her. So I suggested another place to meet her. I said, let's meet there, 7 o'clock. She's like, okay, but I can meet you at 7:15. I said, make it 7:30. Again, even though I could have been there at 7:15, I'm taking the lead. You've got to take the lead. It's that beta alpha thing. And then we got there, and this is a girl who she wouldn't talk to me on the phone ahead of time because she was very wary because, again, guys are off to her all the time at dinner. So, again, using this taking the lead and claiming thing, she said, pass the pepper as we were eating. And I held it up, and I said, pass the pepper. You know, waiting for her to say please, because I wasn't going to take an order. And I'm not a bastard about this. It's just, this is dynamics. But I said, pass the pepper. And she goes, now, motherfucker? And I'm like, suddenly I like you. And this is how I responded. I'm like, suddenly I like you a whole lot more. So I again took the alpha back by approving of what she just did. And another way, great way of doing this, everybody, is you just go like, awesome. 5 points for Gryffindor. You know, just give her points. Like, give her points. That's you taking the alpha position in a fun way. Again, not in a bastard alpha bully position, but in a fun, I'm in charge here. I'm in charge of this interaction. I'm comfortable with it.
Awesome. Sorry, Brett. I muted you there for a second. Your microphone was kind of giving some feedback thing, but does that answer your questions better there?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, thank you for that. And it looks like we don't have any more questions. So, Adam, I know a lot of guys are going to be wondering, you know, how to get more advice from you. And we're actually going to do a little bit of a follow-up email. So, you know, we'll send a couple links to the information that you have available. But if somebody wants to, you know, get a hold of your information that you have, what's a good place to go?
Well, you know, you'll get all the links. Obviously, there's erotic mastery to be a better lover. There's instant confidence with women to be, you know, to really put forward those alpha behaviors in a really fun way.
Uh-huh.
Deep attraction online, obviously, for online dating. There's a bunch of other stuff. But if someone has a question, they can just write to me directly. It's cool. adamgillotta@gmail.com.
Okay. That's sounds perfect, man. Thank you so much for being here. I know the founding members, you know, love to be able to get into the mind of the masters such as yourself. So it's a really great experience, and I know everybody learned a lot from you. So thanks again for being here, man.
You're welcome. And again, I love hearing you say mind of the masters, because I can accept that now. Remember, when I started, I knew nothing.
Right.
$600 on my first date.
All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for this founding members call. Thanks again, Adam. And thank you, everybody, for being here. And we'll talk to you later.